All right, I want to deal now with the second of five facts about our tongue that we've been looking at. It's a positive look toward it. It's really a look that appeals to our thinking, to our minds, so that we can get it down into our hearts. So take your Bibles and find Romans chapter 16 and Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and Romans 16. While you're finding your place, let me just remind you also, I inadvertently forgot to tell you that Pastor Brent and his entire family are on the West Coast and for the week. So I took them to the airport at 5:30 this morning, Miss Floyd went with them. All the kids went with them. Lily and Jerry went with them. They're going to track down some of the places they lived out there. And then, of course, Pastor Brent, he's attracted to some ball team that's out there also. And I'm sure that they're going to probably take into something of that nature also. So pray for them, if you would, especially when they travel that far away from us on an airplane that long. And it was Jerry's first time flying, so I had a little fun with him going to the airport this morning. Gave him something to think over. Recently, I dealt with what I refer to as the ignorance of an evil report. Sometimes we're ignorant of the destructive power of an evil report. And the last time I spoke, I spoke to that. And tonight I want to speak to that second segment, and that is what I call exposure to the evil report. And what is exposure? Well, let me give you a definition so that you'll know that we're beginning to creep into this now. We're more than just being ignorant of the destructive power. Now we're being exposed, whether we like it or not, whether we understand it. Let me give you that definition of exposure so that you understand the premise. This is the premise in which I'm going to deal with. This is the main idea. This is the big idea of the message tonight. What is exposure? Exposure is entering into a conversation with a person who is a carrier of an evil report. So now you're going to enter into a conversation with someone who is a carrier. They're going to give you some information, or they may want to get information out of you. And so they are going to seek to do it. Either way, you are exposed now. And how do you deal with this? And how can you even detect the carrier of an evil report? Can we have the foresight? Can we have the foreknowledge? Can we have spiritual wisdom? Can we have discernment? And of course, the answer to that question is yes. And over the years, and I prefaced all of this in the first couple of messages, that we are all guilty of evil reports. We're guilty of being ignorant of them, and we're guilty of being exposed to them and even being on the giving end of them. All of us have been. And so this is a great preventive maintenance set of messages on our tongue. It all started many, many months ago when I started speaking from Proverbs concerning the anatomy. And so now here we are with the tongue. And now how can we, and this is a fair question, how can we detect a carrier? In other words, we want to know, how can we figure out something's not right about this conversation? I'm getting information. I'm not concerned. I don't think this is my business, or they're trying to get information out of me that's none of their business. And so you have to be discerning. And so how do we detect a carrier? Well, let me give you six thoughts. They're worth writing down. You will be able to identify with them immediately. And the first one is, sometimes the carrier of an evil report will test your spirit. They will perhaps talk about an issue and kind of jiggle your mind a little bit. See if you'll enter into that conversation with them. So if you are going to detect the carrier, then you're going to have to be careful when you feel uncomfortable. Now, that doesn't mean when you're talking to someone tomorrow, you run into them at the grocery store, that you think that they're going to expose you to an evil report. It doesn't mean that you treat them cold. It doesn't mean that you give them the cold shoulder or not speak to them. You will know in your spirit. Pastor Chris preached from Ephesians chapter 2 the other day, Sunday night, and spoke about the power of God in our life. I mentioned it the Sunday night previous. You have the Spirit of God that lives in you. He will cause your spirit to be uncomfortable. Well, that's a good indicator that something about this conversation might not be going in the right direction. And you can get silent about it. You can graciously try to change the subject, graciously step away from the conversation. But you don't have to preach a sermon to them. Even if you're a prophet, you don't have to give them the wherewithal. You could be prejudging their heart. And so, but if you feel uncomfortable, when I feel uncomfortable, I seek to either ask a question, or I seek to try to get the conversation to change. Or if I fail at those two things and it continues going down the tubes, I get out of the conversation as graciously as I possibly can. At this point, you do not owe them a rebuke. You just feel uncomfortable in your spirit. Here's the second thing that an evil report carrier will do. He or she will check your acceptance. In other words, are you open to this conversation? Will you take it to the next level? Will you allow them to open that door of that conversation so y'all can get, or you can, and that person can get on the same elevator and be speaking about that topic or that person or that issue? And then here's the third one. He or she will get you to ask questions so that if they can get some questions out of you, you can get the juice out. You will be able to deliver the juicy news you want them to hear. You're exposing them. This whole idea is that this is exposure to it. And so many times an evil report carrier will get you to ask questions. And then here's number four. He may ask counsel of you. Now, that's usually done deceptively. They really aren't concerned about the counsel. Matter of fact, they may even pretend not to even know anything about it. They're gathering information. They want to get what you know about that situation. And they're hungry for it because they are exposing others. They're really beyond exposure. They are defiled. And we'll get to the defilement in a little bit. So the fifth thing that this person tries to do is he tries to get you to admire them. For some reason, you are a wealth of information. And you must walk on water to know all the juice on everybody. Wow. And so you're impressed by that. And some people compare that to spirituality, or if they do know, they are more spiritual for those who do not know. And really, it's quite the opposite. I think a very spiritual person might be out of the know about some things because people know they walk with the Lord, and so they guard their conversation around them. They know they're godly people, and they know it wouldn't work with them. But many times, if they could get someone who's not perceptive, who has no antenna, who has no discernment, to get them to admire them, they become a source of information, and now they can expose this evil report to them. And number six, this person loves evil reports, and they seek to even search them out. They seem to thrive on it. And because they seek to thrive on it, your spirit, the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, will feel uncomfortable in these areas and give you some red flags. And you can say, hey, this conversation is not going in the right direction. We better be cautious, better be careful. Some questions to ask when you when you sense that someone's engaging you for that exposure. Some questions to ask, and I've written these down because these are questions that I have asked in the conversation to curb it, to get it away. These are not on the screen, but I want to show them. I want to share them with you. Sometimes I will say, now, what is your reason for telling me this? And that makes them think, well, why am I repeating this? And you'll be surprised at how many times I've asked that question to preachers. Why are you telling me this? And then I ask this, and this really silenced them sometimes. Well, where did you get your information? And can I quote you on this? That causes them to back up a little bit. And by then, they're seeing that, hey, these questions that I'm being asked now, this is a spiritual man I'm speaking to. This is not some carnal bumpkin that doesn't have any antenna, or if so, it's just very short, and it's shorted out. It's not catching it. And then here's another question that I have asked. Have you been to these people directly yourself? That's a Matthew 18 situation. Or you might want to say, have you personally checked out all the facts? Do you have all the facts so that if we deal with this, I can quote you on this? I don't want you to get egg on your face. So do you have all the facts? You see, a lot of people's fears are ran and controls what they think could happen. Now, I want to stop right here and help you with that. I do not know any of us who sometimes are what I call too sensitive. You're trying to figure every jot and tittle out. You're trying to figure everybody's motive out. And that's when you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. Because you're not God. You can't see into that heart. And many times, good, well-meaning people fall short of being godly people because they are motivated by their fears. If we do this, this could happen. Analytical people do that. If we do this, this could happen. If we do this, this could happen. And their whole process is somewhat tainted. And so they are now dwelling on the negative. They're dwelling on all the bad things that could happen. Well, you know, that kind of person probably wakes up in the morning and says, should I get out of bed or not? I may break my leg today. Well, you know, you got to get going. You can't live in that fear. And here's another thing that happens. If you live in that fear, you're going to miss a lot of blessings because you will be suspicious of people that you shouldn't be suspicious of. And that's going to cause you to miss blessings and benefits of God putting that person in your life. So there's two ways of this, and there's two sides of this. And I hope that I've helped you a little bit understand about this. Now, I want to speak to this matter for a moment on how words hurt us. We can get blind to this, and we can become infectious with this evil report. And words are powerful. They can hurt us. And this is why Proverbs 18:8 says the words of a talebearer are as wounds. It is very, very difficult. It is hard. Words hurt more than we realize. And sometimes if we are not careful, we could do far more harm then we can help or good in a situation. Let me read that verse to you again. I want you to see the verse. You don't have to turn to it. It's on the screen for you. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So you have an opportunity to see these truths that will help your discernment. Now, I want to go to the last thought, and here's the thought that I want us to look at for tonight as we finish up this exposure part. So, what if someone has a definite pattern of being a carrier of an evil report. What is, it could be so damaging. Words can be so hurtful. It destroys marriages. It destroys work relationships. It destroys partners, business partners. It destroys churches. They're so powerful. And they hurt so deeply. And this is what happens many, many times. Well, if someone has that pattern, if someone is going to always be like that. I read this week, I was doing some reading, and I read about the church gossip. Her name was Mildred. This was the storyline. And I was glad that her name was Mildred because, to my knowledge, we do not have a Mildred in our church. But her name was Mildred, and she was known as the church gossip. And so she came to church one day, and she said, "Did you know," and I'm quoting the names in the article that I read, "did you know that Brother George is an alcoholic?" And people were shocked. "He's a good man. Brother George, you're an alcoholic." Or "he's an alcoholic." And people started questioning that, and she continued. And someone says, "How do you know that?" And she said, "Because I was driving down the street, and his truck was in front of the liquor store. He's an alcoholic." That was her reasoning. And so finally, it got back to George. People in the foyer finally talked enough in the church, and he was crushed. He couldn't believe it. This nice, sweet little old lady, never had any wrong in the church. I mean, he really loved her, and he first of all, he got angry because it wasn't true. And so he really wanted to go and lace her open, but he respected her, and he didn't know how to help her. He knew that she was old. How can I teach her? And then he said, this idea hit me. He said, "That night, I drove my pickup truck over to her house and parked in front of her house all night." Great truth in that, isn't it? Now what will the talk be? But how do we treat those that have a pattern of this? Well, the Bible tells us, and I want to share it with you. I want you to look in Romans chapter 16, and I'm going to read, make some commentary, and I want us to look at this. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them." So that's the first thing we do. We mark them. We'll discuss what that means in just a moment. Is this clock right? Is it 7:52? "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses." I run out of time too quickly. "And offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." So there are three things in Scripture we can do. Here's two of them. Now the word divisions is those who will cause disunion. It's dissension. This word is translated sedition in our King James Bible. So this is a very strong word, the word division. And then there's the word offenses. It is the word scandalon. Can you think of an English word we might get from the word scandalon? Scandalous. That's what this word means. It means a scandal. It means to trap or to bend a sapling over, to set a snare, to cause one to fall. That's an offense. So there's a difference in getting your feelings hurt and being offended. Getting your feelings hurt could come from a heart that might be carnal, might be upset, might be mad. They might say something that they should not say. It's not scandalous. It's just hurtful. But scandal is a step to the left of just saying something hurtful. It is actually pulling down the sapling and tying off a snare. It is wanting to snare someone. It has deep, ungodly motives behind it. So, what do? We mark those that cause division, that causes disunity. We mark them. You can't be their best friend. You can't go out and drink coffee with them after church on Sunday night. Be careful, because it's gonna go to a bad conversation. And usually that goes to a fence, and they're going to pull down a sapling, and they're going to tie off a snare, and their whole motive is to black someone's eye, to give someone a bad rap, to speak evil of someone. We're talking about evil reports. Look at verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how long they've been saved or their last names in church. Doesn't matter. None of that, all that goes away when you become an exposure, someone who's going to expose others to an evil report. Oh, your testimony is shocked. It's shot. It's worn out. You now have a problem. Why? Because you're self-serving. You're serving yourself. Look at the rest of the verse. But their own belly. They're not serving Christ. They're serving their own appetites. They are self-serving in this. They've got an ulterior motive that's vile and wicked about it. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple are those who have no antenna or short antenna. They deceive the hearts of the simple. And they use good words. They're not cussing. They use good words. They cloak it. Well, I want to give you a prayer request that I know about, but you can't share it with nobody else. That ought to be a hint. Why are you telling me this? Do you have all the facts? Have you talked with them? That's the time that you start popping all those questions. Because then they're going to say, I thought she was pretty simple. I thought I could run her life. I thought I could run her mind. I thought I could get her to think like me. I thought I could get a confederacy out of her or him. Look at verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. In other words, the men and women at the Roman church, at the church at Rome, these Romans, they had a good testimony about what they said and how they said it. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Be wise about evil things. In other words, get your antenna up. That's what he's saying. These are great verses. What do you do with someone who has a constant pattern of always running everybody else down? You walk away from that and you wonder when she gets to her next friend or he gets to his next friend or vice versa, you wonder what they're going to say about you to them. I promise you they will not leave your name out of the gossip. It just doesn't happen. The person who's got an evil report in their mind and heart, they have a motive. They have a pattern. They have a way of doing all of it. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and let me just read a few verses and we'll end here tonight and we'll finish this next Wednesday. But let's begin reading in verse number 6. Watch it carefully. This is Ephesians 5. Let's begin reading at verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Have your antenna up. Don't be swept off your feet. Here's an indicator that you're being swept off your feet. Someone calls you on the phone and they say something and you go, oh, I didn't know that. And you're caught off guard. If you're always surprised, oh, I didn't know that. If you're always caught off guard, that's a good indicator to the person who wants to infect you with the evil report that they got you. That you're pretty easy prey. Because now you're going to get all the slop on the issue or on the person. Here's what the Bible says. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, let no man deceive you. The aged, carnal Christian of the church, someone you may respect, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, if these vile words come out, what is the result? Why do you not want to be deceived? The Bible tells us. Notice what it says. For because of these things cometh the orge of God, the wrath of God. It is a strong Greek word. And it goes to God justifying his anger about it. God is angry at evil reports. He is angry at the lies or the gossip or the truth that's being spread that's nobody's business. It angers God. Now, if it angers God, we ought to sit up and take notice to this. This word goes to the word in our English language that we get the word vengeance. And vengeance belongs to who? God. Vengeance doesn't belong to me or you. Vengeance belongs to God. And now the wrath of God is going to be meted out over this. This is why you don't let anyone deceive you. This is why you don't engage in these conversations. This is why you mark them and avoid them. Why? Because we're in serious trouble by the time you get into the depth of all that conversation. You could be in serious trouble. It brings out, are you ready for this? This word goes to the violent passion of God's vindication. Wow, all over an evil report, over divisionary words, offenses, unfinished business. And the implication is coming judgment unless there's repentance. Now look at verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Do not be a co-participant. That is what the Greek word is here. Do not let them draw you into a confederacy. Be smarter than that. Be spiritual than that. Have your antenna up. Do not be deceived by these vain words. This is what he's crying out to them. And he's commending the church at Rome. They were able to do it. Ephesus had a harder time with it. There's no commendation here. When you read this chapter and the last of the chapter 4, he is correcting the church because they had a weakness. It led to the loss of their first love. Now watch what it says in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. That's the way you talked when you were in dark. You gossiped and you lied on people. When you get saved, you quit that stuff. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Don't walk as if you're in darkness, telling all the smut on everyone. Don't walk that way. Now look at the parenthesis in verse 9. And we read it as a parenthesis. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So instead of stirring up his anger, the orge of God, instead, what you're going to do is you're going to please the Lord. You're going to gratify him by not being turned when these vain words are spoken. And here's the third thing that we're to do with someone who wants to turn our hearts away from our family, away from godly people. Here's the third thing. Now watch it carefully. Look at verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What's the unfruitful works? It's a throwback phrase that goes all the way back to the front. We avoid them. We mark them. And if we have to, we can't drink coffee with them. Because we know it's going to end up gossiping. We know it's going to end up with a wrong conversation. But rather, look at the verse, look at verse 11. But rather reprove them. That word reprove is a legal term. It means that you're now going to correct them. You're now going to set the record straight. I can have coffee with you, but we're not talking about this. Our fellowship time is not going to be around this table of gossip. And that is what it means to know what to do if someone, time after time after time, has a pattern. All of us get caught up in it. All of us have to apologize for gossip. All of us have to apologize for talking too long, too much, and to too many people about other people's business. Every one of us have had to apologize for that. And the sad thing about it, if we don't learn this lesson, we'll have to apologize about it next week. But we're given a message with these two passages of Scripture that helps us see that God deals with people who want to cause division. God deals with people who want to gossip and tell the truth about someone. Gossip doesn't have to be lies. It could be the raw bone truth about everything. just none of our business at this point. And that's when we learn in our spirit how not to be affected by these divisive words. Have our antenna up. Change the conversation. Ask the questions. Grow in God's grace. You see, when you enter into a conversation with a person that's a carrier of an evil report, either you will take the right stand or you will get stomped on eventually. So the best thing to do is take the right stand. You know, I like easy. And it's easier to follow the Bible than it is. This is what I told someone I love very much many, many years ago. I told them, I said, you know, the problem is you can't handle the truth. And you want to twist it and color it and change it. You just want to pervert it. And the problem is, after a while, you can't keep up with all those lies you're telling. That's what gets them. They can't keep up with it. You know, when your conscience is clear and you're telling the truth, you don't have to think about what you're going to say. You can just say it and be gracious. Exposure. Exposure is entering into a conversation with someone who's a carrier of an evil report. You take the high road. The Bible teaches us. You've been taught by your pastor tonight to take the high road. I guarantee you tomorrow you'll have opportunity to exercise it. Because we are all human. And we have to guard our hearts. We have to. If not, we're going to hurt someone else, people that we love. We're going to have to make apologies. It's not good. So put your antenna up. So when you get up tomorrow, don't be analytically thinking, I better not get up because I could break my leg. And if I break my leg, that's going to hurt. I have to go to the hospital and get it set. So therefore, I'm not going to get up. I'm just going to eat Cheerios all day in my bed. You can't do that. Don't come a skeptic. Don't be skeptical of everyone and everyone's motives. Be cautious about that. But then have the Spirit of God dwelling in you where it won't be your fear. It'll be the Spirit of God saying, hey, there's something about this not right. Would you stand with me, please?